June 18th. It's your old pal Ann back in the Hockey Talk Show studios to talk about the day's news in the hockey world. And we got a ton of it for you here tonight on the program. We are going to talk about Barry Trotz. Yes, take a look and see what our graphic is. If you go into the Islanders, we're going to analyze it and break it down. I believe probably, but it's speculation at this point. Let's go with the other day's news. From over the weekend, Galchenyuk for Domi. We'll get into that. And of course, I think we now know who Seattle's first general manager is going to be. That's right. All that and more on this episode of the Hockey Talk Show. Lou and Aaron, what's up, everybody? Welcome in. Missed you guys last week. For those of you unfamiliar, brought the other radio show that I do to the U.S. Open. We did a weeks long worth of work there for a couple of live shows, and that basically took up most of our time last week, which is why we didn't have any live shows here on the Hockey Talk Show. Tried to do one stream for you guys from the historic Shinnecock Hills and the U.S. Open. It didn't really work out all that well, but it was kind of cool to see Garrett Rank over there and lots of hockey people hanging out watching the U.S. Open. I do have a couple of hockey stories from that, which we will get to at some other time when we do have the time. Tonight, we're going to be talking about some of the trade rumors that are coming up. We're going to talk about Barry Trotz and that rumor situation. We are going to be talking about Ty Domi and Alex Galchenyuk, which nothing against Peter Budaj, because that trade was officially the first trade in the 2018-2019 postseason, or I should say 2017-2018 postseason, but 2018-2019 season. That was technically the first trade, but nobody really gives a crap about Peter Budaj, including his wife and his mother. So Galchenyuk for Domi, and let's be honest, that's the sexy trade so far. And sexy in the sense of it gives us a little something to talk about. There's a little bit of meat there. You know what I'm saying? Draft is going to be good, says Aaron. I totally agree. We got a lot to talk about. I think this week's shows are going to shake out like this. Wednesday, we're going to get into NHL awards. We'll scratch the surface on that, and of course, obviously, trades. I do expect there to be a flurry of activity this week, so I don't know if we're going to be solidly on every night. It might be in the afternoon. It depends on when the news is breaking, but I can't imagine this being the last time I talk to you guys before the draft. In fact, I know it won't be, because like I said, we'll do a little bit of awards and some more trade rumors on Wednesday. Going to get the third jersey show in at some point, as the NHL is going to be announcing their third jerseys this week as well. And, of course, the draft coming up on Friday. The plan here on the Hockey Talk Show is draft coverage, first round, right here, Friday evening. And then at some point on Saturday morning, we'll do a little bit of rounds 2 to 7. I'm not going to lie to you. I could sit here and lie to you and tell you we're going to do rounds 2 through 7. I don't know if I'm going to last all the way through 7 on Saturday morning. It tends to get a little tedious and a little bit boring, even for the hardcore of hardcore fans like me. But we'll do the best we can to talk about it. Again, I do anticipate a flurry of activity this week. I just think that there's a lot of moves that need to be made. The Islanders need to make some moves to shore up their run at Tavares. Everything that's breaking in Ottawa between Erik Karlsson and Mike Hoffman, in case you missed any of that. I'll just surmise it for you quickly. Erik Karlsson and his wife, who lost a baby this year, is very tragic, are accusing and taking out restraining orders against Mike Hoffman and his. I don't know if that's his wife or his girlfriend or fiance. I can't remember now. I kind of forget. But anyway, it is an ugly situation over there in Ottawa. So obviously there's going to be some moves to be made there. Does Hoffman get traded? Everybody seems to think so, but I feel like I'm the only one saying, wait, hold your horses, because I feel like Karlsson could find his way out of there. If there's just so much on the table for Carlson from Vegas, for instance, who almost got him at the deadline, as we now know, that could change things. That could mean Hoffman stays and Carlson goes, and continuing the transition of what I think Pierre Dorion is trying to do, which is give this team to Matt Duchene. He's got a deal that's got to get done as well. So there's going to be lots of trade rumors going into the draft on Friday. We'll be all over it. We'll put the show on here whenever there's a move this week. So you can stay tuned for that. Before we get into Galchenyuk and Domi, let's talk about Barry Trotz and what happened here. This, I believe, is a major, 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 major development. And I think possibly a really positive and good one for the New York Islanders. Today, this afternoon, Barry Trotz tendered his resignation into the Washington Capitals. Now, why is this important? Why is this significant? For a couple of reasons. One, he could leave and be gone anyway. And the fact that he did it on June 18th is significant. His last day of contract is July 1st. So the fact that he's leaving a couple days early, you might not think it's a big deal, but it actually kind of is. Two, right after winning the Stanley Cup, Barry, who by all accounts we all thought was going to be gone after what he whispered to what's his name over there in Columbus, John Tortorella, as they were doing their little high five line at the end of that series, him saying, "Yeah, I'm gone. I'm out of here." So we all kind of assumed he'd be gone. He didn't have a contract going into the Stanley Cup final. It was basically a mess there. And for those of you who really don't know, going back a little bit farther from all of this, Barry Trotz was not Brian McClellan's guy, right? Barry Trotz was a hire of then general manager and now golden god and genius George McPhee. Who turned out to be quite a bit more intelligent than he was in Washington as soon as he crossed the border into Nevada. So when Brian McClellan came into the mix and took over, he inherited Barry Trotz. Never a great situation, even if you're having a rather outstanding year. But as we saw with these two guys, they couldn't get along. A lot of problems, a lot of issues between the two. And by all accounts, you inherit a coach, years and years of not really having all that much success, you would assume that they are eventually going to indeed part their ways. And that's what we all thought was going to happen. And then what happens? Caps beat the Penguins. And everything from that moment changed. I don't care what anybody says, but it was that moment for me where the trajectory of the Washington Capitals completely changed. Now they go on a run. Now they easily go and make it to the Stanley Cup final. And they take the team that literally nobody could beat and give a hard time to, and they beat them. And they beat them pretty handily, too. I mean, outside of the first couple games, it was clear on everybody's minds that this was the Caps' year. And they win the Stanley Cup. And now where does that leave you? We get a slight change of heart, which I thought was pretty interesting. And by the way, a showing of real maturity. The fact that at the end of all of this, after winning the cup, Barry Trotz can turn around and say, "Hey, we got some things to iron out, but we're going to talk." Because that was the last we left off. Until today, the last we left off in this saga was, "Hey, we got some issues to iron out. We're going to talk." And I thought, they're going to turn these things around. Here's the opportunity. The door has been opened. Cooler heads have prevailed for the Washington Capitals. Barry Trotz came up and said the right damn thing. "We got some issues to iron out, but we're going to talk about a re-signing." And that was just a few days ago. And now here we find ourselves with Barry Trotz resigning from the Washington Capitals. So clearly, whatever their issues were between Brian McClellan and ownership and Barry Trotz, I think it was kind of a little bit of a triangle there, a triangle of issues. We find ourselves now with a free agent, Barry Trotz, who's on the prowl. Couple things with that. One, if you're Brian McClellan, you better damn well be right, because you just let the Stanley Cup champion coach walk right out the door. whoever you bring in, which I think they might elevate one of the assistants, you better be damn right and make sure that you can get back to the finals. Because if the Caps don't go back to the finals and win it, let's put it this way. This is how ludicrous we've gotten, especially because in the age of Twitter. If the Caps don't go back to the finals and win it in four games, hell, if they don't win it in three games, which is not really possible, everybody's going to be pissed. And everybody's going to blame Brian McClellan, and they're all going to say, you should have never let Barry Trotz walk out the door. That's going to be the big issue for the Caps. So if you're McClellan, you better have it right. Because I don't care what my thoughts are. If my guy won the Stanley Cup, I don't care if he comes into my office every day and said I'm the stupidest person ever. I'm going to go ahead and give him a pen and a piece of paper and say, write your number. You can come back next year for however long you want. Because that's how it works. That's how it works with players and coaches. Even if it's a bad situation, even if everybody knows it's a bad move, extensions are given out when success is had. You just have to do it. It's just the way the world works. So if you're McClellan, you better have it right. The other thing is, this is fairly significant because Lou Lamoriello, now we'll look at this from the Islander standpoint. Lou Lamoriello wants to have a coach in place by the draft. Draft this Friday. He comes out and says this. He can't get a conversation going with Barry unless the Caps allow it, because he's under contract till July 1st. However, Trotz resigns, and now seemingly there's nothing stopping him from having a conversation with Lou Lamoriello. And why on earth would Barry Trotz, a Stanley Cup winning champion, go to the mess that is the Islanders, even though Lou Lamoriello is there? Well, because as you have it right now, if you want to work in the National Hockey League next year as a head coach, there's one spot and one spot only for you, and that's in that's with the New York Islanders. And that's just what it is. If there was more jobs open, I would be saying he's got this, this, and this, but there isn't. And if there was more of a feel where I thought, boy, there's a coach really in trouble and he could be, you know, there's just not right now. Every team that needed a coach got one. Every team that was on the bubble has really kind of already committed to their coach. Now, would I be surprised if, you know, San Jose made a coaching change and brought in Barry Trotz? A little bit, but not entirely. It's possible that it can happen. It's possible you can have a Calgary, Carolina situation with what's his name, you know, leaves one day, got a new job the next day, like a miracle. That can happen. But I just don't see it. It's not impossible, but I just don't see it. I think that Trotz leaves right now because whatever he needed ironed out didn't get ironed out. And he's thinking to himself, boy, there's one head coaching job. It's with an NHL Hall of Fame legend now at the helm. They have a chance to keep John Tavares. They have Matthew Barzal and Anders Lee and Pulak and Letty and all these guys. I think I can help turn this. I think, Barry Trotz doesn't want to go and help the Arizona Coyotes turn things around, right? He's not going to want to go to Montreal and help them turn things around. Not that they would give up on their coach. He sees an opportunity to slide right in with some Lou Lamoriello magic and turn some things around. This is the best chance the Islanders have ever had at acquiring a Stanley Cup champion coach. If you've been throwing questions up on the chat, I'm sorry. I haven't read any of them, but I'm going to go through them all right now. Facebook and YouTube. Thanks. By the way, thumbs up on the vid, Facebook and YouTube. Do it on both of them if you can. And let me know what you think. Throw your questions out there. I'll start taking a look and start reading. Harper with a great point. If Trotz didn't win the cup, he would have been out anyway. 1,000% right. But you know what happens, Harper, and I'm glad you said this. The world changes when you win the Stanley Cup. What was doggy doo-doo one day is a shiny, delicious brownie the next. It's just the way it works. Bad relationships, sour relationships, change like that when you win a championship. It happens. Now, it didn't happen between Brian, Ted, and Barry here in this particular case, but coaches, players, we see it all the time. Man, that guy's an ass. Man, I can't stand this guy. I'm going to hand him the Stanley Cup now. It's all good. Because that's what happens. When you reach the top, you don't care anymore. You just don't care. Todd Reardon in line for a promotion from the Caps. I think he's the guy that's rumored to be taken over. I think McClellan kind of wanted him from the get. I mean, we all know if the Caps were struggling, he would have been out of a job this year, Trotz. But again, like I said, dust turns to gold when you start winning. When you win a cup, it's all good. All those issues and troubles and things, they all go away. It happens that quickly. It just does. Loving these thumbs up coming up on the Facebook page, guys. Equal it up on YouTube if you can. Don't forget, you can listen to The Hockey Show in podcast form on Spotify, the TuneIn Radio app, Stitcher, and iTunes. And if you're on iTunes, make sure you guys rate and review so that we can climb up the charts for hockey podcasts. So this is significant for a couple of things. One, this is Trotz signaling to the world, hey, I don't want to wait till July 1st. Who does? Teams are going to be too occupied with trying to get their players in line. You know, that's the time for that. Time for coaches is now. It's no coincidence that all the coaching vacancies have been filled. Because you want all that in line. Now you focus on players. And when you're selling to free agents and when you're trying to sell to trade potential things and blah, 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 and this and that, you want to have your guy in place. So I think it's important. If Barry Trotz is announced as the Islanders head coach tomorrow, I would not be surprised. Not whatsoever. Now, I can tell you that this is all feeling. This is not based on what I've heard. This is not speculation. This is not widely accepted rumors. Somebody just asked, is Barry Trotz talking to Lou? Nobody knows that, and nobody will know that unless Barry or Lou wants them to know. And I don't think they want them to know right now. But if you ask me in my heart of hearts, absolutely no doubt about it, Lou, in some way, shape, or form, has either had or is planning on having or will have a conversation with Barry Trotz about the coaching vacancy with the New York Islanders. Now, that being said, I do think that Barry is the best option, and I don't think he's the only option because you got Keith, who just won the Calder Cup with the Marlies, who's obviously very close with Lou. You've got Scott Stevens, who's been long rumored to be joining the staff. And boy, would I love to have Scott Stevens in an assistant coach's seat, not a head coach's seat. I think the Islanders have had enough head coaches that are first-year coaches. And that's the other thing when you look at for the Islanders. I mean, this turnaround, this culture change for Lou and the Islanders, I think it really hinges on the coach. Because if you go back and you look at all the messes that Mike Milbury put up and then all the messes that Garth Snow put up, they were all first-year coaches. Sans Ted Nolan. With the exception of Ted Nolan, I would really have to go back and look, and I would probably settle somewhere around Lorne Henning. But outside of those two, and then, of course, Al, the Islanders just, they hire first-year coaches all the time. And you know what never works for them? First-year coaches! So I think that getting Barry will be a super signal to John and everybody else that this team is ready to win and win right now, immediately. I think, and I've been saying this, if the Islanders have a shot at winning John Tavares back, they've got to make a move at the draft. They got to get a goaltender and they got to get a defenseman. I think if you only get one of those and Barry Trotz, it helps. I'm going to amend it. If you get two out of three, goalie, defenseman, Barry Trotz, I think John stays. I really have a good feeling that John Tavares stays. We'll have to wait and see what happens there. Do I think the Caps could snag the Isles 12th or 11th for Grubauer? I do. It depresses me a little bit to say that, and I would love a proven goaltender that knows what they're doing. I would love a Corey Schneider. I would just endlessly love a Corey Schneider right now. I just don't know if it's out there. And I just don't think that Grubauer is at Corey Schneider status or Freddie Anderson status. I just don't think that he's there. I do, however, think he might be the best option. I do kind of think that even a 12th is overpaying for Grubauer, but I don't get to make those calls, and neither does anybody else. The market tends to make those calls. You know, you buy a stock at $50 one day, it could be $75 or $25 the next day. Brokers don't get to decide it. The market does. So I think that Grubauer is in the conversation. And honestly, the list is super short. I mean, who else is there? Who else is eligible to be the Islanders' number one goalie next year via trade? I do know that those picks, and I thought it was 10 and 12. I have to go back and look. It could be 11 and 12. I do know that those picks are going to be instrumental in the Islanders grabbing somebody. And I do think they'll have an easier time getting a defenseman, but I don't think it's going to be as sexy as a Carlson or a Doughty or any of those guys. I really don't. I think it'll be more down on the lower level. But you know what? I'll take Ian Cole. Maybe not for the first, but I'll take Ian Cole on my staff any day. I like him on my six. No doubt about it. Give me a responsible, old, wily veteran, and I'm going to be super happy. Richard, excited for the Islanders' future. You should be, man. This is the most excited. By the way, with the exception of the year that Charles Wong bought the team and they went out and traded for Pekka and Yashin and they got Chris Osgood, this is the most optimistic time the Islanders have ever had. And also, I would even argue that it's even more so because you were in the hands of Milbury and an inexperienced owner. Now you have ownership that's a little bit more experienced. They were part owners in the Capitals before. You've got a general manager and a guy running the show who's more experienced than the entire league put together. And you have your stars are better. I mean, I don't know what Islander fan wouldn't take Tavares and Anders Lee and Matthew Barzal over Yashin, Pekka, and a coin. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I think today's team is far more exciting than any other team. So if you grew up and missed the Cup years, this is the most exciting this team has ever been. So if you're excited now, get excited. That's why the cover of this show is Barry Trotz sitting next to Lou Lamoriello at an Islander table. Let's have some fun with it while we can. Even if it's not going to be real, let's try and imagine that it's going to be, you know. Let's see here. Uncle Buck, bad time to try and trade for a goalie. Expansion draft made it so teams couldn't have two starting caliber goaltenders. That's a good point. Do you think if they only get Trotz, JT will stay? No, I don't think so. But I do, like I said, I do think it's 2 out of 3. I don't think that you can get John with 1 out of 3. You could. I just think 2 out of 3 helps. Why transit? Go in there and get what you need. And I think Lou will do it. I think Lou will do it. And if he doesn't do it at the draft, I think he'll do it closer to free agency. But I don't think that Lou Lamoriello goes to July 1st, or let me correct that a little bit. I don't think Lou Lamoriello goes to July 5th without a new goalie and defenseman in his mix. I just don't think so. I do think that the sweepstakes for Tavares, while we're on the subject, is going to get ridiculously out of hand. I really do. I just hear all these things that Vegas is going to make a serious run. I hear that Vegas has already got the red carpet laid out for him and his whole family. You know, look, George McPhee was with the Islanders immediately before he took over for Vegas. I mean, suites at the pond, like you name it, dinners and shows and everything. I think the Vegas Golden Knights are going to roll the golden red carpet out. I think it's going to get crazy. I think Montreal has a lot of hope hinging on the fact that they can convince Tavares to come there. I really do. I don't have a lot of hope for the Montreal Canadiens, period, to do anything of anything decent this offseason. But if they want to come out of this tailspin that they're in, they got to make a serious run at Tavares. So as excited as we could all be about Trotz and the thought of him coming to the island, you got to sort of live with the idea of John is going. I mean, this is literally like breaking up with a girlfriend going into spring break. It's dumb. Not a time to do it. Not a time to mention to your chick, I'm thinking about, maybe we should see other people. Don't send your girl down into, where do people go for it? Cancun. Don't send your girlfriend into Cancun single, man. It's not a smart move. Not a smart move whatsoever. And that's kind of what the Islanders are doing here. Jerry is so excited for July 1st. I think we're going to see a lot of fireworks here. I don't know when free agency is. Is it at noon? I think it might be. I think free agency opens up at noon. I can't remember if it's noon or 3. I think it's noon. We'll be on live during that time. And by the way, I don't necessarily think that John will have pen to paper July 1st. I really don't. I mean, even though he's got that little bit of a talking period, I just don't think so. Deirdre, welcome aboard. If you guys are just joining us here, I do think that the chance of Barry Trotz going to the Islanders is pretty significant. I don't think he would have resigned if he didn't want to go and get the last coaching vacancy in the league right now, which just happens to be in Longbrook with the Islanders. I definitely think there's something to that. While we're on the subject of bench bosses and whatnot, the other part of the Islanders and Barry Trotz is for the longest time, and again, we mentioned Sheldon Keefe, it's possible, Scott Stevens, possible for the New York Islanders. The other big thing that I was saying for the longest time was possible, which is another part of this show, was Dave Tippett. I said, there's no way Dave Tippett doesn't get spoken to. No way. Dave Tippett is far too accomplished. The only thing going against Dave Tippett was he was kind of dabbling into becoming a general manager. When he last left Arizona, there was a weird dynamic there where he was the head coach and John Chyka was the GM, but all the personnel decisions were up to Tippett and blah, blah, blah. So he was kind of the GM as well as the coach. Well, the news here today, Dave Tippett hired as a special consultant to the future franchise of Seattle. So that is another aspect of this that really affects Barry Trotz. And if Tippett was in contention, which, by the way, I did kind of hear that he wasn't, which I was pretty surprised to hear that he wasn't. I mean, it kind of makes sense that Lou doesn't want somebody who wants to be a GM in the coaching position. It makes sense from that angle. But as far as great coaches, especially great defensive coaches, I mean, take a look at the guy on your screen. It don't get no better than him. I mean, it does. But as far as defensive coaches that are out there with experience that are available, it don't get no better than him. And now Tippett's off the table. He was hired by the Seattle future owners to come in and be a special hockey consultant to the, I mean, I guess you can say group. They're not really an organization yet. They're still technically a group, which is why he's not technically the general manager. But I expect Dave Tippett to roll right into the George McPhee role. Once the team becomes official, he will be that person. But for now, he is the quote unquote special hockey consultant, blah, blah, blah. And there's no doubt about it. A guy in his position that wants to kind of be a manager is going to get a chance to build a team from the ground up. He's literally taken the George McPhee challenge and saying, I think I can run with this. And he's going to be their consultant for now. So good for Dave Tippett. Jerry, I don't want the Seattle team. Aaron says, can't wait for Seattle. So there you go. I mean, I think a lot of people are excited about Seattle. I'm excited about Seattle. I want to see if Dave Tippett can do it. By the way, I mean, I heard a lot of rumors here about who was going to get this job. I think you couldn't have had a better hire than Dave Tippett. There's no better hire. And Tippett's going for the gusto. Tippett is, I mean, literally, this is the worst job you can get in hockey right now. And he's saying, I see what Vegas is doing, and I'm going to take this challenge head on. So I think that's pretty cool, too. So, and it does have implication on the Barry Trotz situation because, you know, if Tippett's off the table, that's one more competitor that, you know, is gone for the Isles. So it'll come down to Lou and Barry, and let's see what happens. Quickly, let me weigh in on Domi for Galchenyuk. This deal is fascinating in several ways. To replace what should be and what once was a 30-goal scorer is pretty insane. I think that the big winner in this deal is by far the Arizona Coyotes. I mean, they got rid, and Domi wasn't going to magically start working anytime soon for Arizona. I just don't see the potential upside for Domi in Montreal as much as I see the potential upside for Galchenyuk in Arizona. Look, Galchenyuk has a domi, and in Galchenyuk's change of scenery, nobody cares if he stinks. Whereas in Montreal, you can't walk down the street unless you scored 3 goals the night before. So I too, you could not go back into another year with this same team. That being said, and I hate to take this back to the Islanders, but they're a big part of the news in the league right now. Now that Garth Snow has been fired, the next general manager most likely to be fired is Mark Burge. Was his bust. That was his first draft pick, was Galchenyuk. Supposed to be the big center that the Montreal Canadiens needed. Here they are all these years later, still needing a center. Not great. Not great. And unlike some other general managers that have turned some of their mistakes into some promising prospects, that is not the case what Mark Bergevin did here. He took a gamble and turned it into an even bigger gamble. So, to be honest with you, I am just... I fear for Mark Bergevin's career. And I don't think that this is the move that helps get anything done for the Canadiens. I think the Canadiens are so screwed this year. If there is not a team that I dislike more than the Montreal Canadiens. Meaning that I don't hate them, but... If as far as in worse shape, give me the Buffalo Sabres any day this week, twice on Sunday, over the Montreal Canadiens. The Canadiens just have nothing. And they have the greatest goaltender in the world. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. AD, you trade a potential 30-goal scorer for a guy that can't even break 10 goals. Bergevin never disappoints. Bergevin has had a whole slew of misses since he's been there. Weber is one of my favorite defensemen of all time, but I'll take PK Subban any day of the week, twice on Sunday. Any day of the week, give me PK. The coaching change while they were in first place. The fall from grace. The utterly heavy reliance on Carey Price. I mean, just look at the Rangers with Henrik. You can't do it year in and year out. Goaltenders can't win you championships anymore. A hot goaltender at the end of the season in the playoffs can. Day one, 0-0-0 record. You can't rely on a guy to carry you through 82 games plus playoffs. It just doesn't exist anymore. It just flat out doesn't exist anymore. So I'm terrified for Mark Bergevin. I think he's definitely going to get fired, definitely soon. And I hope he does the right thing and drafts a good player here, Zadina or Tkachuk or whatever direction he's going to go in, and throw a boatload of money at John Tavares. But again, Tavares, I just can't see him sign. The Canadiens are the biggest mess of the National Hockey League, and the guy's not going to leave Matthew Barzal and Anders Lee and all these guys and what he knows to be familiar and Lou Lamoriello to go with the Montreal Canadiens for what? Because they're going to give him a lot of money? That's not that guy. Not that guy whatsoever. Great Top. I don't know a lot about Barry Trotz, but what happened? All you need to know, Great Top, is he won the Stanley Cup and he resigned today about 12 or 13 days earlier than his contract ended. And why would you do that unless you're trying to get the only coaching vacancy in the league? That's all you need to know. That is really all you need to know. So, I mean, there's a lot more we could probably do on this Domi for Galchenyuk deal, but I'm going to leave it there with that because there's no reason to pick apart the bones on that one. Any questions, shoot them in the chats right now. I'll answer them, and then we'll head on out of here. We'll go over a couple of trade rumors. As we're doing that, a couple of things that I've heard that have been of interest. Talked about Mike Hoffman. I definitely think there's no way Mike Hoffman and Erik Karlsson are on this team next year together. Just no friggin' way. No way. One of them goes. Hoffman most likely to be traded at the draft, but I wouldn't be surprised if Erik Karlsson does go. And again, we transition this team into and step closer with this offseason. Let me see here. Darren Dreger said that teams are calling the Bruins, expressing interest in David Krejci. Dreger believes the Bruins are reluctant to make that move, but every player has a price tag. Thinks the Bruins would instead prefer trading David Backes. Krejci, I think, would pull a lot of interest because there's a lot of teams that need a center right now. A lot of teams. Bergevin is a really good friend of Molson, so I doubt he gets fired unless there's a dire situation. Montreal needs to hire a president, and Molson needs to get out of the way. Honestly, AD, I agree with you, but I just think about how long he's been in Montreal now. They got an empty cupboard. There's zero prospects there. He's traded most of them away. Right? And he's got a team that is got nothing to show for them. I mean, there's no center. There's no defense. Their six is ridiculous. It's Mete and Weber. I mean, and do you, I mean, Mete? Are we really? And I'm not slamming the guy, but he's the number two? He's your go-to puck mover? I mean, I just don't get it. I just don't get it. Question is, what locker room would want Hoffman and his baggage? Here's the biggest issue with that. Great point, AD. The guy comes out and doesn't diss. He doubles down with the chick. I don't know if that's his, I think it's his fiance or his girlfriend. I don't think it's his wife. But whatever it is, he doubled down on her. Stuck by her side. Dumbest thing you could have done, man. Dumbest thing you could have done. Nobody wants to acquire a player when their significant other is a psychopath. It doesn't play good. That's why I bring up the point. Hey, they may not be able to sign Carlson. He may be the one who goes. And again, I feel like I'm the only one saying this, but just look at the tea leaves. I know how to read them. You got to get rid of one of them. One of them is going to bring you a whole hell of a lot more in return. You've already got to shit. You've already started the transition away from 65. Could be Carlson that goes. Rob asking the same question. Yeah, I mean, it's a great point. It is a valid point. Who wants to bring in that baggage? I don't know. And I will say there are a lot of teams that might want to try and put up with it. Buffalo would. Arizona needs some scoring. You know, teams that are starved for scoring, they'll give it a shot. You come in there, stern warning, stay off of social media. We don't want to hear your name in the paper, blah, blah, blah. Decency clause, all this crap. They'll try and do their best. Hey, Evander Kane failed in Winnipeg. Failed in Atlanta. Failed in Winnipeg. Failed in Buffalo. And the San Jose Sharks took a gamble on him. And that worked out pretty okay for now, right? So it's not ideal. And I don't think a lot of teams will want the baggage, especially when there's other players out there that are available without the baggage. But it's not impossible. It's not like Hoffman will never get a chance to work again. He'll certainly give it a shot. But again, I just don't feel like we'd be surprised if it's Carlson that goes instead. I just really don't. Rumors are already flying that Thomas Plekanec is going to return to the Habs. I could totally see that happening. Larry Brooks, crazy himself, reporting that multiple sources that he probably heard in his own head say there's significant interest in Kevin Hayes. Again, a center, big centerman, not likely to, you know, not one of the best centermen, but he's big. So we'll see what happens there. He also says that Jeff Gordon is talking to the Edmonton Oilers about Milan Lucic. Now, this I can believe. Because if the Rangers know how to do anything, they know how to bring in overpriced, really old and slow veterans. But Larry Brooks also reports that they'll take Lucic only if Leon Draisaitl is in the deal. I think the Edmonton Oilers, even if they were choking to death on Milan Lucic, would not give up Draisaitl. Let's see here. Trades need to happen now. It'll be there. It'll be there, Aaron. Kane was toxic, but what player wants to play with a guy that has a girlfriend attacking their significant other? Nah, it's a tough situation. It's a tough situation. But if you're the Buffalo, believe me, there's plenty of general managers having conversations right now with the rest of their hockey operations going like this. I think we can turn them. I think we can help them. I think we can, you know, right the ship here. They're looking at his scoring totals going, maybe. And here's the thing. the reason why they're having those conversations, they think they can get him for cheap right now. That's going to be the most important thing. They think, because of all the issues, they can get him for cheap. So we'll have to wait and see. Trots to the aisles. I think it'll happen. I think there's a good chance of it going down this week before the draft. We'll keep you posted. I wouldn't be surprised if a team fires their coach just to hire Barry Trotz, though. So keep that in mind. I think there'll be some movement from Ottawa this week. I think there'll be some movement from the New York Islanders this week. I wouldn't be shocked if Ryan O'Reilly gets dealt at some point as Buffalo tries to retool. Hey, again, maybe there's a situation where you take my baggage and I'll take yours. Hoffman for Riley could be interesting. A little bit of a, I have to look at their salaries, a little bit of a difference there salary-wise, but I don't think that Galchenyuk for Domi is the last garbage for garbage deal. Not implying that these guys are garbage, but let's say baggage for baggage instead of garbage. It sounds nicer. So there's still a lot to keep track of. Hockey Talk Show, make sure you guys like our vids and make sure you're subscribed and you're following on Facebook so you get notifications. Also, you hit the bell over on YouTube again so you get notified when we go live on the shows. If news breaks, we are going to go live instantly. So make sure you're following along on our Facebook or YouTube lives. And of course, Twitter or Instagram, although we break most of, I don't know, we break, but we throw most of our stuff up on Facebook and YouTube first. Don't forget, you got the podcast. If you want to go back and watch any of this, of course, it'll be available in video form. And again, audio only on Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and the iTunes apps. Make sure you guys rate and review. Thumbs up there, especially on iTunes, if you can. Rest of the week, we're looking at a couple of different show opportunities here. Talking about third jerseys, talking about trade rumors, NHL awards on Thursday, and of course, the big draft Friday night into Saturday morning. We will definitely be doing Friday night. We'll definitely do some of Saturday morning. I don't know if we'll get through all seven rounds, but we'll do that for sure. Right here on the Hockey Talk Show. All the information, links, and everything else up for you at our website, hockeytalkshow.com. Don't forget to spread the word. That's how we grow on the kindness of you guys. Thanks for all the comments and questions and everything else. And I will see you guys on the next shift. Have a great night, everybody. Enjoy.